This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're getting a jump on celebrating the 40th anniversary of The Doors' first recording. The official year-long celebration begins next month. The surviving members of the band have a new book coming out next month, and Rhino is bringing out a Doors box set. The band's first album was released in January 1967. A cult developed around its lead singer, Jim Morrison, who wrote lyrics about his obsessions with sex, death, and insanity. He lived a life of excess and died of a heart attack in 1971 at the age of 27. John Densmore was The Doors' drummer. I spoke with him in 1990 after the publication of his memoir, Riders on the Storm.
What were your early shows like when you started to play together as a group?
Well, the first club was the London Fog, a real sleazy place where we kind of were really just honing our stuff, and Jim wouldn't even face the audience. He was so nervous. We had this sort of circle of energy that we developed in rehearsal, and he didn't want to break it. Then we moved on to the Whiskey A Go-Go, became the house band, and we really opened up then, and we played everybody, the Byrds, Captain Beefheart, Van Morrison, Frank Zappa. And as every group came in each week, we'd kind of, well, let's show them how good we are. And then the record people start coming around.
You write that when you started playing music, it wasn't yet cool to be a musician. It was cool to be an athlete, but not a musician. Mm-hmm. Then you become a musician, and it's real cool to be a musician. And I'm sure there were always groupies, you know, backstage or trying to get backstage. Were you surprised at quite how cool it became to be a musician?
Yeah, I didn't get it. I thought I was supposed to be a nerd, and now I'm cool. So I'm going to go back to high school now because it's cool, isn't it?
I want to ask you about a now very well-known incident that happened during a Doors concert. And I'm thinking of the night that Jim Morrison said, "Let's see a little skin, let's get naked." So what happened after he said that?
He did not expose himself. It's true, Jim was drunk. He was getting into alcohol heavily. And he had just seen Julian Beck and Judith Malina's Living Theater, which was a very confrontational thing where they said, "No passports, no visas, no boundaries," and they walked around the audience in little G-strings. And he was kind of fed up with us having to play the hits, but he was also getting burnt out, unfortunately, from substance abuse. So Miami, he tried to interject confrontational theater into our performance. Didn't tell us, of course. And he stopped songs and said things like that, and things like, "Don't let them shove you around in the S dot 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 of the world." And he took his shirt off and ran around, and he threw a cop's hat in the audience, and the cop threw his hat in the audience, and there's a lot of people on stage, so a security guard flipped him into the audience thinking he was a fan. It was real chaos. But sorry, folks, no exposure, no oral copulation. Jim didn't play an instrument, and he was real enamored with Robbie's guitar picking, as I was. He played flamenco, Robbie did, and it looked like a crab crawling across the strings. So he would get down on his knees and look at that, and hence we have obscenity charges. We paid the police for the hat, and everything was fine. We were laughing, left town for 4 days, and then we get these warrants. I think maybe some kids went home, I don't know, drunk or missing a shirt, and the parents, "What is this? What have you been at?" Let's call up the politicians. "Oh, let's get reelected. Well, yeah, rock and roll, it's moral decay. Let's get them." And then we have 30,000 people in the Orange Bowl with Anita Bryant and Jackie Gleason rallying for decency. We didn't play that one.
Oh, you didn't play their rally, huh? now, what did you do on stage when the police came on stage?
Well, I abandoned the stage when I heard it crack on the left side. Oh, and before that, there was a can of orange day glow paint thrown on us. So I jumped off the stage, and I landed on the light board, and the whole thing collapsed.
Did the lights go out when that happened?
Just the stage lights. We're talking chaos, Terry. I remember going upstairs and watching Jim, you know, as I said, he got flipped into the audience, and the kids weren't hurting him or anything, and he started leading this kind of snake dance, and everyone was behind him, and it was wild from above. It looked like a whirlpool.
Now, what effect did these charges of lewd and lascivious behavior have on the band?
Well, it really ruined our live career for a year or so, and our manager said, oh, we've lost $1 million. And I'm thinking, good, I don't care. This is a runaway train here, and Jim's in trouble, and no one's stopping him. Not that he could be stopped, but we're all turning the other cheek or something because of commerce or some rubbish. I don't care, you know. Let's defuse this myth-building insanity a little bit. So that's what I felt.
Were you ever resentful that that Morrison got so much more attention than anyone else in the band did?
When we got the artwork for the first album cover, I said, I thought to myself, well, why is his head so big? You know, it covered the whole album, and I'm like in the corner. And then I thought, okay, well, so I guess he'll sell more records. I'll sell copies of Soldier of Fortune, so I'm small. Yeah, you know, but then I see what that bright spotlight does to you, you know, and I'm going, oh, okay, I'm glad I'm kind of just on the fringes here, getting just a little singed.
John Densmore was the drummer for The Doors. Our interview was recorded in 1990.